Welcome to Transitions with Ruth Ann Rame McCaffrey. Hello, I'm Santi. I'm here with Ruth Ann. How are you?
Hi, I'm well. Thanks.
Good to have you. And today we're going to be talking about navigating through chaos or chaotic experience time. And I like that you're going to talk about it in two parts. You're going to talk about it with how we ourselves are going through chaos and that it's a natural part of transition. And then you're also going to talk about how we can be experiencing that type of situation when someone else is going through
right.
a chaotic time and what we can do to be, what our role is, what we can do to be there for them.
Right.
So what does chaos look like?
Chaos, first of all, is a natural form of, or a natural part of transition. And you can tell when you're in chaos or when you're in this in-between stage of transition when you're beginning to know that you've let go of something or that you need to let go of something. The idea that you need to let go of something has become clear to you, but you don't know what your new direction is really going to be. And the reason I'm using the word chaos is that it's very much a time of questioning, and it's like navigating through a rock, you know, a stream bed or along a stream or a river or so on that has lots of different ways that we can go, and we can end up stranded someplace in a tributary that isn't leading anywhere, or we can really move ahead in a way that's going to be positive and productive for us. So one of the ways that we know is that it is a time of thinking about or knowing we need to create a new direction, but we don't know exactly what that new direction will look like. Mm-hmm. And some people find that really scary. Mm-hmm. And so for them, the word chaos would be a worrisome, it would be a word that would fit in the negative connotation of it. And people who, for example, very much like the status quo, they're very much creatures of comfort. They like the familiar. They don't like change. They don't like to have something happen that is unexpected. Find that this in-between time or this chaos may be particularly challenging.
Because it feels maybe out of control.
Right.
It feels like there's just, that can be a very uncomfortable feeling.
It can. And it also brings opportunities, though, for people to create wonderful new experiences for them. And so the end of a period of transition, the in-between transition time, can be very satisfying because we've invited something new and different into our lives that is really interesting and wonderful. It might be a new relationship, it might be a new job, it might be taking some health challenges and transforming those and getting our body in a better place. It might be adventure. There are lots of different ways that we can make a time of unexpected challenge really positive in the long run. So that's what we're going to talk about today.
Okay. Very good. And so I guess maybe it's difficult to do this. How can we put a time frame on that as far as what we can expect or what it feels like? How do we know what that transition or what that transformation is, then that we know that we've made it?
I don't know that we can put an exact time frame on it because for every person it's different, and for every experience with that person it's different. The one thing I know for sure, though, having gone through a big grief experience myself, when I was done with the big grieving, the act of grieving, and ready to start my life in a new direction, I knew it. Mm-hmm. And so what I would want people to have hope about is that you'll just know. You'll know that the choices that you've been making, the possibilities that you've been opening yourself to, or the new adventures or new people or new experiences or challenges that you've invited into your life are, they're going to, they're fit. They're natural for you, and they bring you happiness rather than they cause worry for you.
And so part of it's trusting yourself then,
right,
too. Right,
absolutely.
Really learning to trust yourself, right, through the process, whatever the time frame may be.
Right.
Okay.
Well, and also part of the trusting yourself is knowing the way that each of us gets information that we trust. Mm-hmm. Some people like to see information, so for them, they may want to do a collage, or they may want to write, or they may want to put something together that they can look at. Some people want to hear other people mm-hmm. give them advice, and then they can kind of run that advice back and forth in their mind until they begin to accept what's true for them, or the pieces of what they hear works for them.
And that's my mode.
It's, that's yours.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's talking to a number of people that I trust.
Right.
And then taking those pieces to figure out what makes sense.
Right. Well, and what you're describing too, because I think you're an extrovert.
Oh yeah.
I would say.
Very.
And extroverts, like to say things, because sometimes as they're saying things, what comes out of their mouth and into their ears from their own mouth is a surprise. And so we hear ourselves say things, and it's like, oh my gosh, that's the answer I was looking for. And we didn't know that we were going to say that. Or, you know, I say we, but I'm an introvert, so for me it's different than that. But yes, so for those people who like to talk with other people, whether it's the words that the other people are saying or whether it's the words that they are saying, that information is meaningful to them. Sometimes people like to just keep trying on experiences, and they like to try things. They like to do things. They like to run the race and then have a chance to step back and go, well, how was that? How did I like that? And so they will navigate through a chaos, through or through a time of transition very physically, by living in the active way and then evaluating what worked and what didn't work. So we all have different ways of getting information and trusting, you know, helping us trust what is right.
And
for
I think
us.
Reading too, that would be, and that's another method I like to do, is to
right.
get books that either help me through, if it's a specific event,
mm-hmm.
then read things that, from people.
So you like to get ideas from other people,
mm-hmm.
and then transform those ideas and make them your own.
Yeah, definitely.
Right? Sometimes I've had clients who would come in and want to do testing, and the information that they get from the testing is not new information about them.
Yeah.
They are just using the vehicle of the test mm-hmm. to sort it out and organizing and then give it back in a way that they can look at and challenge and have and sometimes be expanded by, because they go, well, I didn't know that about myself. And so for some people, a test is an important piece.
And you're talking about a personality type of test?
Right.
Okay.
One of my favorites is the Myers-Briggs type
yes.
indicator. I love that test.
Me too.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
And so you administer that?
Yes, I do.
Oh, that's great.
Along with other ones too.
Very good.
Yeah. One of the other ways that I have seen artists generate information for themselves is to draw or paint a series of pictures, and maybe a large number, maybe 15 or 20, just for them, and to then look at those and do it over a period of time, and then look at where they are with each photograph, or not photograph, but each painting, and it can give them information about their own process unfolding. I've seen some just incredible work that artists have done.
I bet that would be so interesting.
Yes, it's wonderful as a tool for them. So there's so many different ways that we can be a part of navigating our way through a time of questioning, a time of challenge, so that we are making choices that are going to be really great for us and give us wonderful experiences as we keep, you know, moving ahead.
So it's asking the questions, figuring out what works for you as far as processing that transitional element, trusting.
Right.
And what else?
Well, I think part of it is understanding what can lure us back to the old way. And
that's a good one.
Yeah. And we were in our discussion beforehand, we were talking about Homer and the Odyssey and the Iliad and the Odyssey and how the sirens were a temptation and the way to not give into that temptation required some, you know, some kind of arduous holding together for the, I can't remember, it's Odysseus.
Kind of, yeah, and it's so he was relying on others to help him because he knew he wouldn't be able to.
He had to be tied to the mast of the ship. So apparently this challenge that we human beings go through has been at least around for 2,000 years. I would guess much longer than that. But the idea that we can, you know, it can be a circular process, a spiral where we slip back, where we go back to the familiar, or we it takes us longer maybe than we had anticipated to move forward and be really fully through the time of questioning into the new experience. And being willing to go through the hard time, not give in to the old, even though it's familiar, I think it requires some courage on our part. It requires perspective. It requires keeping our eye on the prize ahead. And I use that, the word prize, keeping our eye ahead on what we really want, what we have thought, boy, that's, wouldn't that be wonderful if I could have that in my life? And accepting that we can have awfully wonderful, great things, and to know that ahead of time and give ourselves permission to wrap our hearts and minds around the possibilities that are out there.
That's just beautiful.
Oh, thanks. I love having people have hope and knowing that good, we deserve to have good things. We're working hard to have positive experiences in life. We're challenging. We're doing all those things that most all of us want. I guess I'm talking about the slice of population who is devoted to really creating a good life for them and doing that in such a way that it brings good things to the world as well. I'm not promoting somebody having selfish means and doing that and costing the world, you know.
Exactly.
Pretty, you know, big things. So anyway.
That was beautiful how you summed up that element of how we may be going through chaos ourselves. Now, what can our role be if we see someone that we care about going through chaos? And some people seem to just either create chaos or sometimes it seems like chaos follows them. And what can our role be to help or support or maybe not?
Right. I think a big part of being witness to somebody else going through a tremendous chaos is to accept the fact that it belongs to them. It really is not ours. And although when we love somebody, we want to help and we want to be supportive usually. But we need to also respect the fact that a big time of transition, it really does belong to the individual going through it. So one of the things to remember is not to step in and rescue them. And what I mean by rescue is to offer suggestions or to give them information or to say that you can help if they haven't asked for it. If they ask for information or help or whatever, then they want it. If they don't and we offer it anyway, they will feel like we don't respect them.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's almost like giving a gift to someone that they just don't want.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. I mean, we do it with the best of intentions, but rescuing is a game.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing it because we feel smart, or we feel like, oh, I've got all the answers or whatever. And yet it leaves other people in a one down position. So that's one thing. The third thing is to be there, though, to offer support in whatever way seems like it might be the best. And then, again, after they've asked. And some people they'll want you to do some very practical things for them. So somebody who's going through a tremendous time of questioning may want you to give them support in the way of just some fun along the way, to invite them to go to get away from the challenge for mm-hmm. a while and go for a walk or go for a picnic or go out to eat or go to a movie or something like that, to give them a little bit of breathing room. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is to be tender with yourself as you're watching somebody go through a hard time, because it's a very helpless feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just need to keep our heart open and ask, what can I do to help, or wait for them to ask, but at the same time trust that the other person can manage this. And just being in standby mode may be the best thing that we could do, and yet it's very hard.
Mm-hmm.
So to be kind and generous with your own support of yourself when somebody you love is going through a tough time.
And a little bit, I know we talked about this before, a little bit of patience too.
Right.
Being patient. And I'd mentioned what, when we were talking before, when we're preparing, I was saying what you do is you meet people where they are. And I think that's what you're saying, is you
right.
really are meeting them where they are.
Right.
Not where you want them to be or where you think they should be. It's where they are at
right.
that point in time.
Well, and that's part of the respect too mm-hmm. for the person, and the trust that they really know how to do this life thing,
yeah.
even these hard parts of it, and that we, if we want to be available to them, are willing to be available to them, can do it in such a way that it works for them as well as it works for us. It just requires asking, how can I be of help to you? And at the same time, keeping our heart open so that we are being available and not overbearing or mm-hmm. not rescuing or something that's going to create more problems for the person.
That's right.
Yeah. So it's an interesting part of the transition, and yet an incredibly powerful part, because it lets us try on different ideas and sort out what works from what doesn't work. And navigating through lets us, you know, do just that, not, you know, hopefully hitting the rocks along the way, but watching the current and mm-hmm. watching what's in front of us and paying attention until we get on to the other side or into deeper water that is going to create, you know, a new interesting chapter.
Mm-hmm. And even if you get on the rocks, you know, you can get back off of them.
That's right. Well, that's true.
You just don't get stuck.
Just don't make a hole in the bow.
That's right. Well, thank you.
You're so welcome. It's wonderful to be with you.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
You too.
Thank you.
You bet. Thank you for joining us. This is Santia. For more information about Ruth Ann, please go to her website at careermi.com. This program is produced and engineered by Rob Bergoni at Brown Pelican Productions. For more information about Rob, go to robbergoni.com.